Mr. Trump, take 30 seconds.
Let me just, you know, he wants to be a tough guy. A lot of times, you'll have, and it doesn't work very well with
how tough is it to take a lot of times, property from an elderly woman?
Let me talk quiet.
How tough is it?
A lot of times, that's all of his donors and special interests out there. So, that's what, and by the way, let me just tell you, we need a ticket. You can't get them. You know who has the tickets for the, I'm talking about to the television audience? Donors, special interest, the people that are putting up the money. Who it is?
Oh, Trump getting booed. Oh, La Trumpa.
He doesn't like that. He was trying to kick everybody out probably after that.
Yes, it was like, hey, you got to get out because out of this debate, ABC invited you all in just to boo me.
Mm-hmm. He did say that most of the people in the crowd were the donors and special interests for the other candidates.
Exactly right. So. Pat Brady, long-suffering head of the Illinois Republican Party, is standing by. Super Celebrity Hotline, Pat. Here's the thing. How come the people of New Hampshire, where the Trumpster enjoys a 31% popularity with them and about a 15% lead over Marco Rubio's next closest opponent, why have the people of New Hampshire not gotten the memo that he's a hump?
You know, I think they have. I think the new poll that just came out a couple hours ago has him much tighter. He never polls higher than 29-30%. He did the same thing in Iowa, and he came in right about 23%. So my prediction is he comes in low 20s. Rubio or one of the other folks kind of catches him. It'll be a 2 or 3 point race. So I think they have gotten the memo. It's just, it doesn't show up in the polls all the time.
I hope so. Because even this, watching this thing, it's name calling, bullying. And by now, and I will just ask you this straight up, because by now you've seen a lot of these things, you've followed a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. Isn't it by now, by the time you're in New Hampshire, aren't real issues on the table?
Yeah, they should be. And there was no substantive debate on the issues on Saturday. I was kind of disappointed, and I give the Democrats credit. At least they are actually talking issues. I didn't think Saturday's debate did much for anybody besides it being 90 minutes longer than it should have been.
Right. There were three. It was like a hockey game. There were three periods.
It lasted a long time. And they were punching each other. But then, you know, you look at what's happening in New Hampshire now, and you've got four candidates kind of in the race for second place. You got Kasich, Rubio, Bush, and Cruz all polling 12-14%, according to most polls. There's no clear second place person right now, according to the polls. What do you make of that?
Yeah, we got to wait and see what happens to see if this shakes out after New Hampshire. Because if they stay in South Carolina, you know, that just opens the door up for Trump and or Cruz. So we'll wait and see. But I think that you might see Rubio or potentially Kasich have a pretty good night.
Yeah, Kasich's name is getting mentioned a lot here. So if Kasich, let's say it comes in Trump, Rubio, Kasich. I'm just going to bet the trifecta here. Okay, I'm going to box the try. It could be any one of these three.
I'm totally lost. Okay.
But let's say that, one, two, or three in any order here, it's Trump, Rubio, Kasich. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that Jeb Bush, because he's just not pushing, just, you know, he can't get anything done? Does he have to pull out before South Carolina?
You know, you'd think, but then you hear his people talking about how South Carolina is his firewall. I remember hearing that about his brother, that Michigan was the firewall, and he lost Michigan. So you'd think, but the way his people talk, and they've got lots of money to spend, that he might stay in it. But I would think he'd get out, but I bet he doesn't.
All right, and then Christie, it is said that Christie will have to get out because he'll be under $750,000 by the time he hits tomorrow, essentially. And if he doesn't hit top five,
Rubio
he's
pretty
done.
Good, I thought, but
he
I don't
did.
Think it helped him. Yeah, it didn't help him. He slid a couple points, actually.
And what do you make of that? Because a lot of people said it cost Rubio a lot, getting hit and hit and hit and not really defending himself that well. Do you think it hurt Rubio and also hurt Christie?
Oh yeah, I do think it hurt. It's just because it was so right on what everybody hates and the knocks that they do have on him, that he's a soundbite type candidate. But I was more disappointed they didn't fight back, because
I did too.
You know, Christie's a pretty target rich target to go back at.
Well, that's what it seems like. It's like all of the candidates, of course, are going to take aim at Obama, but it seems like there's the Rubio has tried to stay above the fray in terms of, you know, creating a boxing match situation with him and the other candidates. He's largely stayed away from that, and he seemed uncomfortable going back after Christie, even though, as you say, that there's some material there to play with.
Yeah, but it goes to Republican voters wondering who can actually win, and you got to fight back. Mm-hmm. You can't just stand there, and that's the knock on Jeb Bush and others. You got to have the ability to fight back beyond the soundbite, and I think that's what hurt him the most.
I think Republican primary voters, let's put it this way, Republican primary voters value the pugnacious nature of a candidate. Mm-hmm. That's considered to be a show of strength. They want it. You know, Reagan had that very famous line when he was running in 1980 about, you know, this is my microphone. And, you know, it's sort of and remember, I mean, when Reagan was running in 1980, I mean, there were people going, oh, my God, he's going to blow up the world. He's an actor. What does he know? Even though he had been, the president of the Screen Actors Guild and the governor of California, two-term governor of California. Right. It was not, you know, he was just considered to be a bit of a lightweight and an outsider. But he wanted to be the outsider. He didn't want to be a conventional politician. And he wasn't, and people were very afraid of him because they were worried about what he knew and what he didn't know. And I kind of think that if you want to know the truth, portfolio wise, he's closest to Trump in terms of Trump is closest to him, I should say, to Reagan in this as being an outsider and a guy that you know inspires. The only and Reagan was very light on detail in the 1980 election. I mean, that was kind of his whole point. Trump is taking a page out of that, which is I don't want to get into the weeds on policy. I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to do. Although I got to tell you, I was chilled to the bone when he talked to and then doubled down on it again with Stephanopoulos yesterday. This idea that not only is he bringing back waterboarding, he's going to increase the program and do more than that. Now, I don't know what he means, and he won't say what he means, of course, but how do you do that?
Yeah, it's awfully bold talk for a guy who got a draft deferment to talk about what he's going to do, and it made me sick to my stomach to listen to him talk about that because he has no idea what he's talking about. There's only two people in the United States Congress that have ever been tortured. And both of them came out against waterboarding. That's not what the country's all about. It's good for him in a primary for a very short period of time, but to make those kind of statements are just reckless. And really, I got to take a little bit of an issue on the comparison to Reagan. Reagan represented the conservative movement, not the same movement we have today that Ted Cruz leads, but a movement that started in the 60s that he had spent decades going throughout the country for GE talking. That's basically what got him fired because he started talking more politics and GE, but he represented a movement. Trump, to me, just represents the lowest common denominator.
I agree with you on that. I'm just saying as a tactic. Listen, Trump is no Ronald Reagan. I mean, everybody wants to be, you know, the thing is, ever since 1988, every single presidential Republican candidate has compared himself to Ronald Reagan. Every single one, right? I'm Reagan-esque. I'm Reagan. None of these guys are. But the tactic that is being used, right? I don't want to call it strategy because I don't think that Donald Trump thinks in strategic terms. The tactics he's using right now are those of trying to create an image that plays on what voter strength in 1980, what Republican primary voter, and then general election voters focused on in 1980, which was a little bit, you know, they a little tougher. Rogue, we're going to bring everything back because, you know, the 1970s were a pretty awful period of time, late 70s, pretty awful period of time for America, both domestically and internationally, right? So,
yeah, and then the next candidate's always a reaction to the previous president.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So mm-hmm. That's why he gets away with it. I just, to me, the thing that's irritating or the hypocrisy of the Trump movement, it's not a movement, it's just whatever he decides to say that day. And he even said as much in the New York Times interview. He said, you know, if I'm losing my crowd, I just say I'm going to build a wall, and they all go nuts.
I know.
Hey, here's I like this. I like Trump talking about Bush because this is a nice. It tells you what we've gotten to.
The guy is, you know, he's had a failed campaign. He's a nervous wreck. He's probably going to be the last of the governors, I would say. You know, certainly he's the least talented of the governors, and you know, he's done very poorly in the debates over the period of time. And what he does is he goes around saying, I'm the only one to have courage to go after Trump. I attack Trump, and I'm the only one. What courage is it? He says nasty things. I always put him down on the dais, and he goes away like a little sheep. You know, the guy is just not a man. He shouldn't be doing what he should speak much more positively.
Like and, Trump does?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, it's like he always accuses everybody else of being nasty to him. What is he doing?
Poor little frail Donald Trump.
You know what, though? It's almost like a girlfriend or a marriage or whatever when you know just what buttons to push.
Mm-hmm.
Just the right buttons. You know it's going to just irritate Jeb Bush to no end.
Oh, he's good at that.
The guy is a master button pusher.
Yes, he's been pushed. Well, here's what Bush said in the first place that started this whole thing.
They're scared of him. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the guy's just a, you know, Woody, he's just a real estate guy. He's gone bankrupt four times. He's a successful man, but he's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. So why not confront him?
All right.
Okay, you seemed really on your game this morning. So we will close this morning with word association.
Uh-oh. I don't like this.
Trump. Work, just one word.
Loser.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
But the door, the opportunity to go after Trump, there's a lot of stuff they could have said that's totally legitimate that would have really hurt him. When he comes to Illinois, I think hopefully the big topic will be all the donations he made to Rahm and Rod Blagojevich.
So you're saying he's not finding that spot in terms of...
No one's fine. You know, the other problem here is that they are not in... states that are about that. You know, I mean, years ago, before I understood this process, I would have, and I was a more callow individual, sort of, you know, Rubio-esque, I would call myself.
But you're good at drinking water.
I was, right. I was drinking everything. I was more, I would have thought, well, these are Rube states, Iowa and New Hampshire. They're not. I mean, but what happens in these states are a very different thing. And so going after specific mechanics of their and that kind of, hey, you supported this then, what about now? They have not really held these guys, their feet to the flame, because I think they're assessing them as individuals. And I'm going to tell you this right now, long-suffering head of the Illinois Republican Party, I'm going to tell you this right now, that if I were the head of the Republican National Committee, I would say that in 2020, I would require it by December of 2019. I would require that there be five candidates allowed to do debates. Five going into the debates after December 15th. That's it. Because because now all of a sudden, look what you can do. You can get a guy with a very, that doesn't have a, you know, has a plurality, not a majority. And boom, look what can happen.
You know, I was sitting in Chairman Priebus's office last time during like the 24th debate, and he just looked at me and said, "This is killing us."
If you
limit debates, you really irritate the grassroots because they want to be heard.
Too bad.
And they have a right to be heard. So it's such a tough act to get this right.
Yeah. Well, it's not limiting the debates. It's limiting the number of people on the stage of the debate. Five top candidates. That's it. The rest of you people go have your own debate. Go find your own stage somewhere.
But look at what happened this time. The criteria to do that is that's where and then Trump screams and yells. It just got to be so out of control, but there's not much you can do. I do agree. I wish there were only five people, but right now there's not. It's fewer, but not where it should be.
Well, I'm just saying, look, I mean, they can have as many debates as they want. I sort of enjoy it, but it's just the sheer numbers here. All right, Pat Brady, former long-suffering. And no, he doesn't suffer so much anymore, but he was long-suffering then.
Yeah,
head of the
Illinois
Republican Party.
Life.
Right.
I don't suffer. Hey, Ro, the only time I suffered is when I stayed out late with you in Iowa.
Oh.
I was very tired.
Suffered
that
the next
rough.
Day. There was a lot of suffrage the next day. When I say suffrage, I'm not referring to voting rights. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Pat.
See you guys.
Thanks. Pat.
That's what happens.
Tom Brady has still not formally endorsed Donald Trump. I want everyone to know. And apparently Trump says, because I told him not to.